ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करान्तिशान्तिशान्तिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः So, in this chapter of Akshara Brahma Yoga, as I said, mainly Saguna Brahma Upasanam is discussed and also the benefit of Saguna Brahma Upasanam. So, Upasanam is a mental activity. Saguna Brahma Vishya Manasa Vyaparaha. In sixth chapter, we understood generally how to have absolute mastery over one's mind by attaining jnanam and how we can have relative mastery over the mind by living a life of karma yoga, a dharma governed way of life. Because if the mind is pure, then we are peaceful. Mental peace. Peace of mind is purely dependent on mental purity. If you want to be absolutely peaceful, we must be absolutely pure-minded. Peace of mind is nothing but mental purity. And absolute mental purity is possible only in jnanam. Why? Because the impurities themselves, which rise in the form of thoughts, which are dormant in our subconscious, are nothing but expressions of our common human fundamental problem caused by our erroneous perception of the self because of self-ignorance. Therefore, in self-knowledge, in ascertained clear vision of what the self is, what the truth of the whole universe is, in the light of the knowledge of the truth, our perspective changes. The perspective of the self changes. The fundamental problem resolves. Therefore, fundamental problem caused impurities which are dormant and latent in subconscious also resolve for good. So they cannot surface anymore. Therefore, mind becomes absolutely pure and there is only peace of mind. There's no mental disturbance, there's no unhappiness afterwards. Therefore, peace of absolute mental purity is another word for mental peace of mind. But until this jnanam takes place, until this knowledge becomes assimilated, until our perspective totally changes, thereby we have this impurities resolved, we can't help them, we can't undo them, but we have to manage them. And to manage them, thereby, to be relatively pure, Shastram teaches us this dharma-governed way of life called Karma Yoga. And there we understood for us, for understanding Shravanam is the means and to resolve the doubts, Maranam is the means and to assimilate the knowledge, Nididhyasanam, which is Swarupa Anusandhanam, which is called contemplation, which is the Dhyanam. This we understood in 6th chapter. In 8th chapter, not Swarupa Anusandhanam. It is not dwelling upon nature of the reality. It is not dwelling upon nature of one's own self. It is focusing one's attention on Bhagavan, Ishvara. Again, Ishvara, and it with attributes. It is Saguna Brahma Upasanam. And in this Upasanam, unlike in Swarupa Anusandhanam, unlike in contemplation, here the Ishvara is object of your worship, object of your prayer, object of your thought, object of meditation, different from you, and you are a worshipper, meditator, different from the Lord meditated upon. And then this is actually prescribed for mental, again, it's also practiced for mental steadiness, and also to learn to be, before we learn to be by ourselves, before we learn to be with our own selves, before we learn to dwell upon our own real nature, we learn to be with Bhagavan, which is distinct other than the world. It's a gradual practice, a pre-preparation for actual meditation. It is Saguna Brahma Upasanam, the mental activity. And this is the highest form of activity. And what is the highest benefit we can gain as a result of the Saguna Brahma Upasanam is attainment of Surga Loka, Brahma Loka, and where we can attain Jnanam and we can attain Krama Muktihi. Therefore, Saguna Brahma Upasanam and its benefit all discussed in this, benefit being Krama Muktihi. So Saguna Brahma Upasanam definitely will not bless one with Sadyo Muktihi or Jivan Muktihi. But if the whole life, if we dwell upon Ishvara, we involve ourselves in worshipping, praying, thinking of Bhagavan always and meditating upon Bhagavan, or anything pertaining to associate with the Bhagavan, the Lord, then it is possible for one to think of Bhagavan at the time of death also. Thereby, one can have, again, next life also, with the same auspicious practice of meditation, or if a serious meditator definitely can go to, after leaving the physical body, can travel through Shukla Gatihi or Krishna Gatihi, go to higher lokas, enjoy other higher benefits also, but which is not mokshaha. And as told you, Saguna Brahma Upasana Phalam is discussed here. So the two paths. See, our Shastram does talk about going to higher lokas. The journey is discussed. But we should remember, this is all within relative world only. Attainment of going to higher lokas, enjoying heavenly pleasures, or travel after death, everything is relative. Nothing is absolute. You want to know what is absolute? Absolute is the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, formless reality obtained in the form of pure knowledge alone is absolute reality, implied by the term Brahma or Atma or Paramatma. Other than that, everything is relative. We do not say it is unreal. It is not unreal, it is real, but how real it is? Relatively, empirically, objectively real. This is there, we do experience. So, we'll see here. The 24th verse, we just started last class. Agnir Jyotiraha Shuklaha Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vidojanaha. So Brahma Vidaha Janaha Brahma Gacchanti. So in this context, the word, as I said in the previous class also, Brahma Vit means knower of the reality. But otherwise, here Brahma Vit meditated upon Sagunam Brahma. Be careful. The word Brahma Vit means, one meaning is knower of Brahman reality. One who knows the truth is also called Brahmavit. But in this context, Brahmavit means the one who meditates upon Ishvara Sagunam Brahma. Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. The meditator upon the reality is also called Brahmavit. The knower of reality is also called Brahmavit. Brahmavidaha means Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. Those who meditate upon Ishvara Sagunam Brahma. They Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. So Saguna Brahma Upasakaha is a meditator. Nirguna Brahma Upasakaha is a contemplator. So the one who contemplates upon one's own, the reality as one's own Swarupam is the Nididhyasakaha. So here this Saguna Brahma Upasakaha, Brahma Vidaha, meditators. They Brahma Gacchanti, they attain Brahma Loka. They attain Brahma Loka, which means they go to Brahma Loka. They attain Saguna Brahma Ishvara. What does it mean? Where is he sitting there? No, they go to Brahma Loka, which means they remain in subtle form without assuming a physical body. And when do they go? They do not go physically. Physical body is left behind like any other person who dies. So physical body of any Mahatma has to get disintegrated here itself. No physical body, nobody can go anywhere along with the physical body. Physical body has to be dropped here. It has to get disintegrated in this world itself. It is not possible to travel with the physical body anywhere. We can travel within locally, but not go to higher lokas. To travel within locally, we need to definitely have a physical body. You can't go with the physical body locally. But you cannot travel to higher lokas with the physical body. That's the problem, isn't it? Anyway, so prayataha gacchanti means what? Those who have left the physical body in sukshma, subtle form alone, those meditators go. And how do they go? And they say, they go through the shukla gatihi, the bright path or solar path. And here it is said, agnihi, jyotihi, ahaha, shuklaha, shanmasaha, uttarayana punyakalaha. All these are, every phenomenon is here said to be looked upon as the devata. What is Uttarayanam? Uttarayana Punyakala Devata. See, the 6 months of sun's movement towards the northern direction, northern course, that period of time, 6 months of time of sun's movement towards the northern direction, in northern direction, towards the northern course, then it, in northern course, sun's movement towards the north, to in northern direction, towards the north, is what of that period, the time itself we looked upon as Devata. Uttarayana Punyakalaha. Okay, which 6 months? We'll see that. Then, Shukla Gatihi, even the bright path through which the departed Sukshma of a meditator travels, which is non-provable, non-disprovable. It is mentioned in the Shastram, so we accept it without questioning whether it is there or it is not there. We don't question. We just accept. But we understand Shastram says it's only relative. It is not absolute. It is not our goal anyway. But we need to understand. Even that Shukla Gati is looked upon as a Devata. Then Ahaha. You know, Ahaha means day. Ratri he means night. So here Ahaha is mentioned. Ahaha day here. Then Jyotihi. Jyotihi means, see, Jyotihi means effulgence. Jyotihi means, Jyotihi is a neutral gender word. Jyotish. Shabdaha. So it's a Jyotihi nominative, right? Jyotihi, flame, effulgence. And Agnihi, fire. It means fire. Now, all these, every aspect of fire, the flame, the bright solar path, and the 6 months, the period of 6 months during which sun is moving towards the north, the northern sun's northern course, all of them are looked upon as devatas. So, departing through by that solar bright path, which is presided over by these devatas, well, devatas, fire, flame, day, in the 6 months of Surya Bhagavan's northern course, the people who meditate on Saguna Brahma attain Brahma. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Actually, Bhagavan Krishna explains the solar path, Shukla Gatihi. Shukla Gatihi, the solar path or bright path. And it is the Shukla Gatihi, otherwise called solar path or bright path, is also known as Devayanaha. This word Devayanaha, we come across some other context in some, when we read Upanishads and all. There also, of course, what is in Upanishad alone is discussed here in Bhagavad Gita. There, the Shukla Gatihi is known as Devayanaha. So, Devayanaha, this meditators of Saguna Brahma, or Saguna Brahma Upasakaha, they travel through this Shukla Gatihi, Prayataha, the departed people who are traveling through this Shukla Gatihi. And they attain Brahma. They travel through this, they attain Ishwaraha. And having gone there, what do? 100% be clear, the people who travel through Shukla Gatihi, attain Brahma, attain Krama Muktihi. Don't ask me whether it's death through or not. Shastram says, when Veda Shastram says, we never question back. Shraddha is there, we have to accept it. Because Shastram also teaches us verifiable facts. Therefore, we accept. So, there they attain Krama Muktihi. So, it is not that they travel gradually, they go there gradually, and they attain, there they have to have Jnanam, attain Krama Muktihi. Even if they go to Brahma Loka, even if they attain Ishvara, then that doesn't mean they attain Moksha without Jnanam. There also, they have to have Jnanam for Moksha. The individuality has to resolve. Only then they can attain Moksha. Moksha is only when individuality is resolved. As long as individuality is sitting strongly on one spot and isolating oneself from the whole, then Moksha is not possible. Because Moksha means freedom from limitation. Being an individual, you can't help be subject to limitations. Being a limited individual, there's no moksha. And moksha cannot be attained as an individual. Being an individual, if you see, who can drop cognitively the individuality, then there is moksha while living. Or even if you go to Brahmaloka, one has to resolve the individuality through jnanam, then one attains moksha. So, importance of jnanam should not be forgotten at all. moksha is only in jnanam. Whether you attain here or when you go to Brahmaloka or attain Kramamuktihi, still jnanam is the means. And here, Krishna makes it clear, the Shukla Gatihi, the bright path is explained differently in this verse. Explained in a way, as it is explained in Upanishads. Because why Krishna, we have talked about Shukla Gatihi? Because there is also another path called Krishna Gatihi. Shukla Gatihi is bright path, Krishna Gatihi is dark path. And here, all the 10 Upanishads on which Shankara Bhagavatpada had written commentary, in all of them, this also in Brahma Sutras of Vyasacharya, these two gatis are very, very elaborately analyzed and discussed. So, the scriptures mention there is some guidance available. There is some guidance available for all those who travel through these, all those meditators who leave the physical body after death and who travel through these Krishna Gatihi or Shukla Gatihi. There's some guidance available for them. No, in both these margas, both these paths. Because why the guidance is necessary? When a person, a meditator leaves physical body, when he travels through these, either of these paths, in keeping with the amount of punyam he has. If he has abundance of punyam, and he also practiced meditation, he also did karma rituals, he is a jnana karma samuchayavadi, he has practiced meditation along with the performance of rituals, and he has earned abundance of punyam, and he is eligible to travel through bright path. And he also has practiced meditation, but still he has not earned as much punyam as other person has earned, then he is eligible to travel through Krishna Gatihi, this dark path. But still, because it is something happening after the death, so what is there? What is before this path? What is after this path? What is ahead? Nothing is known. It is impossible to take any guidance from this world when we are around here with the physical body. Because you are leaving means after you leave the physical body, nothing. Therefore, Veda itself mentions that there are devatas, certain phenomena, there are devatas, specially there mentioned, who come and receive and welcome this jiva, it seems. They simply welcome the person who travels? No, they don't simply welcome. It seems these devatas help the meditators in subtle form to some distance up to a specific particular distance. Devatas help, and then it seems they leave with another help, leave with other thing, other phenomenon which are available for helping as a guide. It's amazing to know all these things, but but nothing is verifiable, okay? We have to be very careful. Nothing is verifiable. Then there is, which means they have the guidance throughout until they reach the Brahmaloka. So who are those devatas? What are those devatas who serve as guides, who help this meditator when he travels through these paths? You know, so Upanishad mentions, and Upanishad mentions, whatever Upanishads mention, why I had to bring in again and again Upanishad, because you should not think Krishna is giving some story of his own. No. Whatever is in Upanishad alone is brought out by Krishna. So Bhagavan Krishna also mentions the names of those Devatas. Where in the first line of this verse, Agnihi, Jyotihi, Ahaha, Shuklaha, Shanmasa, Uttarayanam. So how many Devatas now? So five, Pancha Devataha, five Devatas are there who serve as guides for this meditator who travels through Shuklagatihi. So, Ahaha actually is opposite of Ratrihi, which means the daytime. Can you believe the daytime? Is the literal meaning of the word Ahaha. But here, in this verse, the daytime actually does not represent time. The daytime does not mean time. The ahaha, even though literally it means daytime, it does not literally mean kalaha. Ahaha is a name of a specific devata. So also, the word shuklaha literally means white color. Shuklaha means white color. That's why Ganapati said we Shuklambaradhara. Okay. Shuklaha means white color. And Shuklaha, but here, the word Shuklaha does not mean the white color. It means the Shukla Paksha Devata. The Shuklaha is the name of the presiding deity of bright fortnight. The presiding deity of bright fortnight. Shukla Paksha Devata. Now, Pakshaha means fortnight. Shukla Paksha Devata means the presiding deity of bright fortnight. In Sanskritam called Shukla Paksha Devata is referred to by this word Shuklaha. Now you have understood two devatas. Also, Uttarayanam. Uttarayanam is the name of a devata here. As I said, Uttaram means north, Ayanam means movement, going is called Ayanam. So Uttarayanam. So movement towards the north is called Uttarayanam. We also travel towards the north. Our travel towards the north, any north, wherever whoever travels towards northern direction, we can, this person is on Uttarayanam. He is traveling towards the north. But here, sun's movement towards the northern direction is called Uttarayanam. But here, Uttarayanam itself is mentioned as a devata. So Uttarayanam, this period of sun's movement towards the north consists of 6 months. Suppose the sun is, of course, traveling from east to west. Also, there is a change. But this particular period is called Uttarayanam. And it is also at another time, the sun moves from the north towards the south. Then he also moves towards the south. Next 6 months, which is called a Dakshinayanam. Dakshinayanam, Uttarayanam. moves towards the south. So Bhagavan, it is this movement of sun from one direction to another direction is actually governed by a natural law, which is Ishvara. Ishvara Niyati. We cannot make the, nothing is in our hands. We cannot move anything. Why it is moving? How it is moving? What happens? So, Shastram calls it a Niyati, Ishvara Niyati. Bhagavan in the form of law governs this function of sun, sense, movement. Not sun really moving, but we understand when the earth rotates, we understand this movement. And this itself is looked upon as Devata. So, why is it mentioned as Devata? Because Div means to light, to shine, and Devata actually refers to the consciousness principle, the intelligent principle which governs the law of the natural law. See, natural law cannot be by itself. Any natural law is possible because of the governance of the consciousness or intelligent principle. Therefore, the law which is governed by anything which exists within the law, governed by intelligent principle, is called Devata. Anything and everything which exists within the law, which exists, the law which is governed by intelligent principle is Devata. Now you can understand why everything is called Devata. That's why any natural law can be looked upon as Devata. Why? Because law is governed by the law, natural law is governed by intelligent principle, governed by knowledge. Therefore, it is called a Devata. So, any natural law definitely is presided over by its appropriate corresponding knowledge principle, consciousness principle or intelligent principle. There's intelligence behind every law. There's knowledge behind every law. And that knowledge or intelligence backing the order, behind the order, is called Devata here. And if you see how many Devatas there, you can understand everything which exists within the realm of this natural law. Natural law is governed by knowledge. Therefore, the knowledge, therefore, it's called Devata. And how many Devatas are there? All the Devatas collectively, all the Devatas together collectively are known as one Ishvara Tattvam. Ishvara Tattvam or the Lord, we can say Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha itself is a principle. Tattvam. Hiranyagarbha, Ishvara Tattvam. Hiranyagarbha Tattvam. Lord is the concept. What is this concept of Lord in this context? We have to understand all the Devatas together collectively is given one name as Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha Tattvam. So individual aspect, individually, every phenomenon individually is known as Devata. You take separately Vanam, jungle, Vana Devata. Separately you take a sun, Surya Devata. Take Nakshatra Devata. Akasha Devata. Like that, every phenomenon individually, separately is known as Devata. And all of them put together constitute Hiranyagarbha, Ishwaraha. We have to remember here, what gives is Ishwara's, the Devata status. What gives is Ishwara's status to everything. It is the knowledge principle. It is the consciousness principle. It is the intelligent principle which backs the order, behind the order, which governed by which alone everything, anything enjoys existence here. That is Devata. Okay. So here, there are five Devatas. In English, they translate this word Devata as a deity. The five Devatas preside over. And five Devatas are here as guides. You know, all those meditators who travel through Shuklagatihi. Okay. It is how these, the meditator travels. And here, the person who travels is Brahmavit, one who meditates upon Saguna Brahma. And he goes, and he attains Brahmaloka, and there he attains Jnanam, there he attains Kramamuktihi. Okay. Now let us see the next verse.
Dhumo Ratristatha Krishnaha Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyotihi Yogi Prapyani Vartate Dhumo Ratristatha Krishnaha Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyotihi Yogi Prapyani Vartate.
I repeat this, all whatever Shastram talks about these paths and higher lokas are all non-verifiable matter for belief.
Dhumo Ratristatha Krishnaha Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyotihi Yogi Prapyani Vartate.
Now, Yogi, here instead of saying meditators, here the verse is given a singular, Yogi. Yogi means the meditator. Saguna meditator means Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. The previous verse who was mentioned as Brahma Vidahan, Brahma Vith, here is mentioned as Yogi. The meditator, Chandramasam Prapya Nivartate. The Yogi Nivartate. Meditator returns. Meditator returns, which means returns means what? Only if a meditator travels through Shuklagati, he reaches Brahmaloka, he attains Kramamuktihi there. He attains moksha there, therefore it's called Kramamuktihi. He does not return. He also attains freedom for good. But this meditator, Nivartate, he returns. He returns means he doesn't go to Brahmaloka. He goes somewhere else. What is that place where he goes and where he has to return? Chandramasam prapnoti. Chandramasam prapya nivartate. This meditator, he doesn't have as much punyam as the other person has. He has not earned as much punyam as the other person has earned. He also has earned quite a lot of punyam that he's so very rich in punyam. He's able to travel go to higher loka, no doubt he also has abundance of punyam, but not as much as the other one has. And this yogi, this meditator returns because he only goes to Chandramasam Prapya Nivartate. He only goes to next loka, Chandra Loka. And he travels through what? Chandramasam. Jyotihi. Chandramasam Jyotihi. He goes to the lunar light. The heaven. He goes to another world, higher loka. He returns, not to Brahma loka. And here also, Dhumaha, Ratrihi, Krishnaha, Shanmasa, Dakshinayanam. Here also the three factors are mentioned here. It is Dhumaha. Dhumaha means literally means smoke. Dhumaha means smoke. But here, Dhumaha is a devata. What is devata? Here, it's called, it's a dark path. And Ratrihi literally means night. There is a Ahaha day. Here, daytime, this is Ratrihi night. And Krishnaha means what? Krishnaha literally means black color. It means, it's a Krishna Pakshaha. It's a dark fortnight. You know, the dark fortnight, the fortnight 14 days after full moon is called dark fortnight. The 14 days after new moon is called bright fortnight. This is Krishna, that's Shukla Pakshaha. Opposite is Krishna Pakshaha, dark fortnight. 14 days after full moon, dark fortnight. Krishnaha means Krishna Pakshaha. Then Shanmasaha Dakshinayanam. Then 6 months, the period of time, 6 months of 6 months time, and during which suns travels towards the south. So sun's southern course involving 6 months of 6 months period of time is called Dakshinayanam. Shanmasaha Dakshinayanam. This is all literal meaning now. So he travels through Tatra. Tatra means what now? By that. So travels understood. It's implied. Okay. This meditator traveling through that dark path, Dhumaha. And this dark path, otherwise called Krishna Gatihi. Krishna Gatihi or Dhumaha. Traveling by that, also this path also is preceded by many devatas. And who are the devatas? Preceded by the devatas called Ratrihi, night, then Krishna Paksha Devata, Ratri Devata. Look at this, everything is looked upon as devata. Ratri phenomenon called night is a devata. Dark fortnight is called devata. The phenomenon called dark fortnight is a devata. Then 6 months period of time of sun southern course looked upon as devata. And all these devatas guide. With the guidance of these devatas, this person traveling through the dark path, you know, attains the lunar light. Of lunar light means what? Chandramasam Jyotihi. Lunar light. Jyoti literally means Chandramasam Jyoti, means the light of the moon. It's called lunar light is Chandramasam Jyotihi. Of this heaven, another loka, higher loka, Chandra loka. He reaches the Chandra loka, which is lunar light. Then, but he doesn't stay there long. He is there as long as punyam is there. When the punyam gets exhausted, he returns. Nivartate, he returns. He comes back to this world again. There's no mokshaha for him. He's still ajnani. He might have enjoyed some pleasures, pain-free pleasures he might have enjoyed. We don't know, but definitely he returns. He is still ajnani. He is bound. He is not free. This is the literal meaning of this verse. So even though it's not explicitly said like in the previous verse, the people who departed after death, who travel through this, are not mentioned. Simply it is mentioned. There's also another path called Krishna Gatihi, and some meditators who do not have adequate punyam to go travel through Shukla Gatihi, definitely travel through with their own punyam. They travel through Krishna Gatihi, and they reach these are the devatas. It means these are the devatas, who help him. Then he reaches Chandra Loka, and he enjoys there, and he comes back. He doesn't attain moksha. He is still ajnani. Okay. Even though the name of the path is not specifically mentioned, it's understood. The word Krishna mentions. So Krishna Gatihi. So he goes by his Krishna Gatihi. And here also, all these are mentioned as devatas. Anywhere we need guidance, and these devatas are conducive for him to reach the Chandraloka. Supportive, helpful. I mean, this is how it happens. See, people who live highly charitable life, people who are highly charitable, who involve themselves in service activities, who also perform abundance of lots of rituals, who spend a lot of time in performing pujas also. So such people naturally, all the punya, how can they not earn punyam? They will earn punyam. So they earn punyam. A result of such punyam, they can go to only Chandraloka. Because how much our punya karma they do, how much our righteous activities they involve themselves, how much of the punyam they earn, still no punyam can ever help you resolve your ajnanam. Punyam can contribute for preparing your mind for jnanam. Punyam alone will bless you with the mental preparedness required for jnanam. But punyam itself cannot remove ignorance. So unless we, as a meditator, as a worshipper, as the one who is paying to the Lord, worshipping the Lord, has purushartha nischaya also knows the value of jnanam, aspires for jnanam, only then it is possible for him to become eligible for jnanam. But without any interest in jnanam, if a person simply worships and prays to the Lord, but involves himself in all activities which are not against dharma, then naturally all his karma he performs, he does, helps him earn punyam. And such punyam is not really higher level, higher quality. So that such punyam helps him travel through Krishna Gatihi and helps him have the support of these devatas, and he can go to only Chandra Lokaha. Why? Because one can exert oneself physically. All his efforts are physical efforts where mind is also involved. But now, apart from physical sadhana, exclusively using mind, also sometimes the efforts have to be mentally involved. Then one can have higher quality of punyam to be eligible to travel through Shukla Gatihi. Anyway, so these lokas, the meditators go to anyway in Brahmaloka one attains moksha, Jandaloka one returns without attaining moksha. He returns. That is what is made very clear. See, by way of teaching us what a person can accomplish, still there is no moksha, still there is a jnanam, still there is bondage. These are all taught for us to make us understand, even if we earn punyam enough to go to higher lokas, there is bondage, there is limitation, there is ignorance. There is no moksha. Which means what can we talk of? What can we say about any amount of accomplishment, any accomplishment in this world? Definitely it is time bound only. It will not remove our ignorance, the bondage, therefore no freedom possible. It's this all said, mentioned here just to help us understand the importance of knowledge, the value of knowledge.
Shukla Krishne Gati Hete Jagata Shashvate Mate. Shukla Krishne Gati Hete Jagata Shashvate Mate. Yekaya Yatyana Vrittim Anyaya Vartate Punaha. Shukla Krishne Gati Hete Jagata Shashvate Mate Yekaya Yatyana Vrittim Anyaya Vartate Punaha.
Now, Shukla Krishne Gati Hete Hi Yete. Yete means these two. Gati is a dual word here, all dual words here. Yete gati. Yeshaha, see? Yeshaha. Yesha gati. Yete gati. These two paths, what are they? Shukla Krishna. Shukla gati, Krishna gati, iti. Ete dve gati. These two paths, one is Shukla gati and Krishna gati, bright path and solar path. Jagataha shashvate mate. These two paths also are said to be what? Mate means they are considered. They are considered to be what? No, shashvate. They are eternal. Eternal means what? They're also always there. How the world is, everything is perennially eternal. Absolutely eternal is Brahma, reality. Everything else is what? Perennially eternal. Why? Nothing is created, nothing is destroyed. Therefore, there's not such a thing called, there's nothing which is non-eternal here. Everything is eternal. Everything here is timeless, because time bound means what? Something should have a beginning, something should have an end. Then we can call it non-eternal, time bound, isn't it? Here, everything here is eternal only. But we only say to differentiate, we use two different words. Perennially eternal, absolutely eternal. What is absolutely eternal? Brahma, the reality implied by the term Brahman alone is absolutely eternal. Apart then, the Shakti of Brahma, which becomes manifest and unmanifest repeatedly, is what now? Then anything and everything within the realm of this manifest universe, all the lokas, all the natural phenomena, all the devatas, all the gatis, all that is happening here, everything is perennially eternal. So Krishna Gatihi, Shukla Gatihi also are said to be perennially eternal. Yete Gati Shukla Krishna Jagataha Shashvate Mate. These two paths, which are also part of this inexplicably vast cosmos, unknown world, isn't it? Also considered to be இட்டர்னல். ஏக்கையா அனாவிருத்திம் யாத்தி அன்யா புனகா ஆவர்த்ததே. கிண்டர் கார்டன் லாங்குவேஜ், யூ கேன் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஈஸிலி. ஏக்கையா அனாவிருத்திம் அயாத்தி, அனாவிருத்தி மீன்ஸ் நான் ரிட்டர்னிங், ஆவருத்தி மீன்ஸ் ரிட்டர்னிங். ஏக்கையா அனாவிருத்திம் யாத்தி மீன்ஸ் வாட், பை டிராவலிங் பை ஒன் பாத் சுக்ல கதி the person attains kramamukti, therefore he does not return. Anavrittim yati means what? Ekaya, by one path called shuklagatihi, by traveling through shuklagatihi, the person does not return, he attains mokshaha there, kramamuktihi. Anyaya avrittim yati, by traveling through krishnagatihi, a person has to return. Please understand who returns. It is the mind. It is a sukshma which departs, leaves the physical body, which alone travels, which alone remains, which alone returns, and which attains moksha there. Atma doesn't travel. All these are happening in Atma, that we should remember. Therefore, avrittim yati, anavrittim yati. So one returns going to Chandraloka, traveling through Krishna Gati, but traveling through Shukla Gati, who attains Mokrama Mukti, who does not return. This is what is, again, both paths are briefly discussed in this verse.
Naite Sruti Partha Janan Yogi Muhyati.
One more thing I want to tell you. And people have this belief in India, strong belief. Some people want to die only in Uttarayana Punyakala. They wait for that period. Somehow one more day, an elderly person is there. Suppose somebody is sick in the deathbed. In India, people will pray. Oh, I pray one more day he should escape. One day he should escape. Know why? Tomorrow onward Uttarayana Punyakalam begins. First 6 months of Dakshinayanam is going to be over. And this old man or woman is sick, in the sick deathbed. One more day is there. Okay? One day if he escapes, any time he can pass, doctor has said, any time he'll go. But you see all sons and daughters and sons-in-law, they all pray for this man to be alive for one more day. Know why? Today, Dakshinayanam ends. Tomorrow onwards, Uttarayana Punyakalam begins. If he leaves tomorrow, no doubt he will go to travel through Shukla Gati, he'll go to Brahmaloka. This many, I tell you, most of the Hindus have this faith and they all pray for it. I tell you, it is not whether you die in 6 months when the sun, whether sun's, the southern course time, or the northern course time, whenever a person dies, he will not go to any higher loka. He may not go to Chandra loka. He may not go to Brahma loka also. Unless he has punyam. He must have earned abundance of punyam to leave. Whether he die, even if a person who has, or if a person has abundance of punyam, and if happens to depart in Dakshina Uttarayana Punyakala, then it is practical, it is possible for him to travel through Shukla Gatihi and being guided by all these devatas. No, Agar Devata, the Devata of day, Uttarayana Punyakala Devata, all of them can guide him and he can go to Brahma Loka, attain Moksha. This person never thought of Bhagavan, never worshipped or prayed. Or he might then might have gone for some pilgrimage and all that. No? And then this person also, because this person dies Uttarayana Punyakala, it doesn't mean he'll go to heaven, he'll go to Brahmaloka. It's very simply dying in Uttarayana Punyakalam will not help one attain Brahmaloka. Simply dying Uttarayana Punyakala, one cannot go to Chandraloka. We will die only two columns for all of us. Uttarayanam, Dakshinayanam, the whole year is divided into two columns. The whole year, 12 months time of the whole year, we have two Punyakalams. Uttarayanam is also Punyakalam, Dakshinayanam also is Punya Kalam. And all of us, whoever dies, they have to die only within 6 months, throughout the whole year. Year means next year, this year, past year, next year, that's a different thing. Whoever dies, they have to die in Uttarayana Punya Kalam or Dakshinayana Punya Kalam. So that means any one must go to, whoever dies in Uttarayana Punya Kalam cannot go to Brahmaloka. Whoever dies in Dakshinayana Punya Kalam cannot go to Chandraloka. To go to higher lokas, one must have earned abundance of punyam, by their all punya karmas. Only that is possible. They must have lived a tapasya, life of tapas. In fact, Swamiji used to say, it is easy to attain sadyo muktihi, jivan mukti here itself. Going to Brahmaloka, attaining Krama Muktihi is really involves much far greater effort. It is not that easy to. That's why people used to say, oh, Brahma Praptihi, Brahmaloka Praptihi. No, my effort is as much as attaining Brahmaloka, they say. Brahma Prayatnam Panyanakum. They say the conversation, day-to-day conversation, they say, I worked very hard to achieve something. For example, they say, Brahma Prayatnam means what? They really put a lot of effort to accomplish something here. Which means, attaining Krama Muktihi involves much more, far greater effort than attaining Sadyo Muktihi, Ajivan Muktihi. Anyway. So, simply dying the whole year, we have only two punya kalams. Simply dying in that period will not help us attain any higher lokas. We must have lived life of tapasya, life of meditation. The whole life must have been a life of worshipful, prayerful life. And a person must have lived a life of karma yoga, consciously living a life of dharma. Only then it is possible for him to earn adequate punyam to travel through Shukla Gati or Krishna Gati to even go to higher lokas. But what Shastra wants to say, it is not enough how much your punyam you earn also. It's impossible for you to attain jnanam. Ajnana nivritti will not happen unless or until you have jnanam. Therefore, there's no bondage. Freedom from bondage is not possible even if you go to higher lokas without jnanam. That point is indirectly emphasized here. Okay. We'll go to next verse, 27th.
Naite sruti partha janan yogi muhyati kaschana. Naite sruti partha janan yogi muhyati kaschana. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Naite sruti partha janan yogi muhyati kaschana. This portion of Bhagavad Gita is a very simple portion. Even though these verses reveal some Veda revealed non the facts, we accept them as facts because Veda says, because of Shraddha in Veda. But they are not verifiable facts. They are non-verifiable matter for belief. We cannot disprove it, so we cannot say it is not there at all. Nor can we prove, therefore we cannot say it is a fact. It is a matter for belief. Non-verifiable matter for belief. Okay. Naite sruti partha janan yogi muhyati kaschana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Now, see, Krishna makes it very clear. Yogi kaschana. Kaschana yogi. Kaschana yogi means what? Na kaschana yogi. Na. Yete Sruti Janan. See, Srutihi is another word for Gatihi. Srutihi, Sri, Rikarantashabda, no? That is Sri. But it's Ikarantashabda. Srutihi is equal to Gatihi. We have better learn another synonym here. Srutihi also means Sarati Asmin Anaya iti Srutihi. Gachati Anaya iti Gatihi, isn't it? So Gatihi, Srutihi mean the same. Gatihi means path. Srutihi also means path. Sruti, dual. These two paths. Ete Sruti, these two paths. Ete Sruti. No. Janan. Ete Sruti Janan. Ete Sruti Janan Na Kaschana Yogi Muhyati. Na Kaschana Yogi Muhyati. See, knowing these two paths, knowing these two paths, knowing about this Shukla Gatihi and the Krishna Gatihi, travel, reaching different lokas, what happens after reaching Chandraloka, what happens after this Brahmaloka, etc. Knowing this, a meditator does not, no meditator becomes deluded. No meditator becomes deluded having known these two paths. There's no delusion possible, definitely. It means meditation will not delude a person. Not supposed to delude a person, really speaking. Therefore, Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yuktaha bhava. Hey Arjuna, no meditator ever gets deluded knowing these two paths, knowing these two goals, knowing these two destinations of Chandraloka and Brahmaloka. Therefore, Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yuktaha Bhava. Therefore, Yoga Yuktaha means may you be a meditator, may you be committed to meditation always. Therefore, always in all periods of time, may you be the one endowed with meditation. Means, may you be committed to this discipline of meditation always, at all times. Arjuna, what does Bhagavan say here? Never ever give up meditating upon Ishvara. Always be meditative upon Ishvara. That is the line he says. Because meditation does not delude a person. Worshipping the Lord, praying to the Lord, meditating upon the Lord will not simply remove ignorance, but still it will not delude you. Worship, prayer, meditation will not contribute for delusion. So remaining in association with the Lord in the through worshipping, through praying, through meditation or meditating upon the Ishvara will not contribute for delusion. Therefore, Bhagavan says, no meditator ever gets deluded by knowing these twofold ends, twofold goals, twofold paths, twofold destinations. Therefore, may you be always meditator. May you always ever remain as meditator. Sarveshu kaleshu yoga yuktaha bhava Arjuna. Simple verse. What does Bhagavan want to say here? Bhagavan says, see, previous, in previous verses, in three verses,
separately and together in one verse, Bhagavan discussed the twofold goals, twofold destinations as Brahma Lokaha and Chandra Lokaha. And to reach these two lokas, two paths have been mentioned. And the people who, the meditators who travel through these two paths also are different. One with more punyam, one with less punyam. Now a meditator knows the difference between these two destinations. Meditator definitely knows the difference between the two destinations reach. Now, even though we do not know the destinations, we understood from Bhagavad Gita, there are two lokas. One is the Brahma Lokaha, otherwise called Swarga Lokaha, the Andhra Lokaha, Chandra Lokaha, and going there, going to Brahma Loka, the return is not possible, attain Jnanam and Moksha there. Going to Chandra Loka, we have to return. This difference we also understood now through study, even though we do not know the lokas. And here, this meditator also knows this difference between these two destinations. So having known, understood the difference between these two destinations, reaching which one has to return, reaching which one doesn't need to return, will not return. Also, the meditator does not get deluded. He will not get confused. Yogi kaschana na muhyati. Kaschana yogi na muhyati. Na kaschana yogi muhyati. You can put anywhere. Because a meditator is already a seeker. Meditator is, as a persona purushartha nischaya, as intelligent sadhaka, as intelligent seeker, knowing this, knowing the difference, no, he will not be deluded at all. So because he's intelligent, he is clever, he knows. Therefore, he will never choose a wrong path. So Arjuna, as an intelligent, a thoughtful seeker, Arjuna knows which is better for him. So Krishna tells Arjuna, Krishna says that Krishna assumes Arjuna is very thoughtful, intelligent, aspirant. Therefore, he will not be meditator one day or 2 days. He must become ever meditator. He must become the meditator of the Lord, upon the Lord always. So he says, Sarveshu Kaleshu. First he said, Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara. Previously he said that. Now yoga yuktaha bhava. The same thing put in different words. Sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara, he said before. May remember me always, he said. Now he says yoga yuktaha bhava. Sarveshu kaleshu yoga yuktaha bhava. May you be a meditator always. May you become a meditator always. Why? Because meditation alone will help you earn adequate punyam to travel through Shukla Gatihi, to go to higher loka, then you can attain Krama Muktihi there. Otherwise, if you simply stop with the karma alone, without meditation, then karma without meditation can earn you punyam enough to live in this world itself. Or to, if at all your karma is so great that you can even go to Chandra Loka, you have to come back. Bhagavan says, may you be a meditator. Even though he says he's a meditator, also, it's important, we should remember here, it is Shankara reminds us here, but we understand these two paths and two destinations, etc., but still we should remember, we don't need to travel at all anywhere. We don't need to go to higher lokas. Don't need to go to Brahmaloka. We don't need to work very hard to go to Brahmaloka. We don't need to go to Chandraloka. We can make efforts to do Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam as much as possible here in this life itself. Even if we die without any Nididhyasanam, if Shravanam, Mananam we are doing means we'll come back, we'll be born again here to do Nididhyasanam. So we can attain Jivan Mukti. That is possible. Only through Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. See, in this verse what Krishna says, you know these two and having known that, will there be any delusion? What should I do? Should I meditate and go to Brahmaloka? Should I go meditate and go to do some karma, earn punyam to go to Chandraloka? That confusion will not be there. One will intelligently choose to be a meditator by which he can attain karma mukti, or even he will not even give importance for any of this. He'll give importance only for Shravanam, Mananam. If you do Shravanam and Mananam, then Nididhyasanam, it is not discussed in this chapter, but still we need to remember here, Shravanam, proper Mananam, if we do, then we will naturally be taken to be in meditation. That is why people who study Shastram, who do Shravanam, Mananam regularly, properly, they need not sit and do meditation a given time. Meditation is not something to be done. Meditation is something to be. Once you do Shravanam and Mananam, you will always be in meditation. You need not do meditation. If you are always in meditation, gradually, depending upon how much you are in meditation, assimilation will be so very quick and you can attain Jivan Muktihi. You can attain Videha Muktihi also. Otherwise, if you do meditation, then you can try other lokas. You can attain karma mukti there, or you can come back. Unfortunately, you have to remember, even if you come back from Chandra Loka, you cannot come back and share your experience with your relatives and friends. Nobody can appreciate, glorify you for having gone to. In those days, people used to appreciate, foreign returned. Even the foreign return was a big deal in those days. Now, who is this boy? This boy is a foreign returned boy. So what? This is a bigger, one of higher qualification those days. Nowadays, who cares for nowadays? I'm crying whether they can live in India itself. What I'm saying, it is not now Surga returned. Nobody can appreciate you as a Surga returned person or Chandraloka returned person, which means such experiences are not possible. Your higher loka experiences cannot be shared with anybody, because you yourself will not remember when you are born. And even if you remember, nobody will believe you, because nobody can understand what you're going to say. This is the problem, limitations of the information associated with lokas. Vedeshu yajneshu tapassu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. We are jumping from anushtup to trishtup meter. Vedeshu yajneshu tapassu chaiva. Vedeshu yajneshu tapassu chaiva. Daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam. Atyeti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam.
Admit the literal meaning today. See, viditva idam. Viditva literally means having known. But here, having meditated, having practiced this, having lived a life of meditation, viditva idam means having lived a life of meditation, having practiced meditation, having known this. A meditator, a yogi, a disciplined minded, atyeti, yogi atyeti. Yeti means goes. Atyeti means goes beyond. Yogi atyeti. He goes beyond means what? Goes beyond what? He goes beyond all punya. That's punya phalam sarvam punya phalam atyeti. Which means he becomes free from punya papas. See, going beyond punya papas means becoming free from punya papams. Going beyond punya papams means becoming free from punya papams. Becoming free from punya papams means becoming free from enjoyership. Becoming free from enjoyership means being free from doership. Becoming free from doership means not having wrong identity. Not having wrong identity means having resolved one's individuality in the vision of Bhagavan being the whole, which means being endowed with the vision of the truth. So, the person attains moksha. Going beyond punya papams means discovering freedom which is already there is going beyond punya papams. Is it clear? Going beyond punya papams means what? Discovering one's real nature, being free from all punya papams, all limitations, discovery of one's real nature, discovering of one's own truth, discovering one's own self, discovering the freedom which is already there is becoming free from punya papams, and becoming free from punya papams is said to be going beyond punya papams. So, yogi atyeti. So, viditva idam yogi atyeti. Yogi sarvam punya phalam atyeti. This meditator, having lived a life of meditation, he goes beyond punya papams, means he becomes free from all punya papams. He becomes free from ahanchita karma, agami karma. He becomes free from all bondage of karma. And what punya phalam? The punya phalam, vedeshu punyam, veda shastram talks about the punyams. Vedeshu yat pratishtam. Vedeshu yat pratishtam. The punya phalams which are highly promised in Veda Shastra. What are all the karmas which are said in the punya, for which Veda Shastra promises punyam? He says vedeshu. If you study the Veda, you earn a lot of punyam. Simply studying the Veda mantras, memorizing the mantras, chanting the mantras, study of Veda adhyayanam will bless one with abundance of punyam. Veda adhyayanam will bless one with abundance of punyam. Yajneshu, even performance of rituals prescribed in the Veda, karma kanda of the Veda, will help one earn abundance of punyam. Then tapasu chaiva, and Veda discusses many disciplines, austerities, penance.
So seriously, being given to the practice of those austerities also will help one earn abundance of punyam. All punya karmas, Veda adhyenam, yajna, performing yajnas, practicing tapas, tapasu chaiva. Okay, on all these, so practicing tapas, living a life of tapas, living a life performing rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda of the Veda, studying the Veda Shastram, all that will bless one with abundance of punyam. And then Veda says, no, by studying the Veda, by doing Veda Adhyayanam, how can you miss punyam? No, Veda promises, so pratishtam, okay? Vedaneshu yat punyapalam pratishtam. Pratishtam means the Veda promises punyam for all these activities. Veda adhyayanam, karmamansa of ritual, practice of tapas, etc. And whatever punyam itself, though that punyam have earned as a result of Veda adhyayanam, studying the Veda, performing rituals, practicing disciplines, following austerities, etc., will not remove your ignorance. Cannot remove your ignorance, because they're all karma. Karma can help you earn punyam. It cannot destroy ajnanam. It cannot bless, free you from bondage. But here it says, just to highlight the importance of meditation, Bhagavan says, Yogi Param Sthanam Adyam Param Sthanam Upaiti. Meditator attains absolute foremost abode. Okay, first the foremost abode. Adyam Param Adyam Sthanam Upaiti. The meditator attains the absolute exalted foremost abode. Means what? He attains moksha. How does he attain moksha? He discovers moksha. How does he discover moksha? By discovering his own swarupam. The discovering the truth of the universe as one's own swarupam is attaining one's own swarupam. And where does he attain? This person goes to Brahmaloka and attains this jnanam. Goes to Brahmaloka, there he attains this jnanam. He discovers this swarupam. Then he attains moksha. So going to Brahmaloka, he attains jnanam and he attains, discovers moksha, which is kramamuktihi. So going to this Ishvara's place, abode of Ishvara, Hiranyagarbhasthanam, it is what? Attaining attainment of moksha. And how does he becomes free from. After attaining Kramamukti, he is free from all punyams, not papam. All he becomes free from all punyams also. There's no more punyam for him to be exhausted. Therefore, he doesn't need to be born again. He attains Kramamukti. And what all punyam he had, whatever punyam he would have earned, or whatever punyam is promised in the Veda Shastram, you know, by studying the Veda, by performing rituals, by practicing tapas, one can earn punyam. And all that punyam also, this person goes beyond that punyam. He becomes free from bondage of karma. He attains kramamuktihi by attaining jnanam, by discovering the swarupam in Brahmaloka. How? Because of meditation, living a life of meditation. Okay, that is the, which means he doesn't do the meditation also gradually, step by step, bless one with the jnanam. I'll explain this verse next class. We'll see the meaning elaborately next class.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. హరి ఓం తత్సత్. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం.